All right, we've been talking about, this is our school of prayer, of course. We are learning how to pray. It's important that our prayers are effective as children of God. God depends, and that's a very correct statement, God depends on our prayers to do certain things on this earth. It is not everything that God wants to do that will be done except we pray about them. Please, that's a matter of fact. For example, we say, pray the Lord of the harvest that he should send laborers into the harvest field. I say all the time, one of the problems preachers, if you're a preacher, listen to that. One of the problems preachers often have is that they don't pray, all right, about things that they're supposed to pray about. And not only preachers, I just need to say that because you see a lot of times preachers are manipulating, they're using their influence of the pulpit to manipulate people. The reason is because they neglected to pray the way they are supposed to pray. And that is a matter of fact. And all of us Christians also, we also have that problem. We often neglect to pray the way we are supposed to pray. So we have problems that are not necessary. You understand? And that's why we have to learn how to. It's not just wishing. It is praying the proper way. And that's why the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, teach us to pray. Sometimes people have desires. They don't know how to pray about them. So they don't get those desires fulfilled. Very important we understand it. Now, the one we've been talking about is how to bless the next generation. And because people don't understand how to pray, they use a lot of methods. And one of the methods they try to use is, let me go and have my children abroad so that they will have a foreign passport. And that will establish them, you know, in their future. And I said, no, that's a great mistake. We are covenant people. We are the people of God. We understand that spiritual things are the things that really count on this earth. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. Our faith helps us to understand that the future of our children will therefore be framed how? By the word of God. Not by their passports, not by their degrees, not by their qualification, not by the number of houses you built and stored up there for them as inheritance. No, their future will be framed by the word of God. And it's important, therefore, that we, as covenant parents, apply the word of God to the children's future. I'm speaking specifically about how to bless your children. Now, we're talking about that, like today I said to you, I want to try and summarize everything. Last time I said something, which is actually what I want to talk about today. But before I get into what I said last time, let me just give us a short summary in less than 2 minutes of what we have said so far. We said, number one, have a habit of prophesying according, that is, let your children have a prophetic name, not just a historical name. We've talked about that, all right? Very important. So that when you are talking to your child all the time, you are saying something about the child's destiny in God. Very important. We also explain the fact that, talking about that prophesying thing, that, you know, that Isaac said concerning Jacob, yes, you know, he said concerning Jacob, that with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. And that's what I was talking to Esau concerning the prayer that he prayed for Jacob. So please don't forget, you must learn to sustain your children with grain and with new wine. And when he was saying that, it was not because he gave him money. It was not because he gave him physical inheritance. It was because he prophesied upon that young man and he felt something leave him and enter into him. And that was why when he heard that he actually prophesied to the wrong person, the way he thought about it, all right, he began to tremble because he realized that what he did could not be reversed. You understand? And I said the blessing of God, please notice that, is not just a blessing from God, it's a spiritual substance in the mouth of covenant parents. And that's what we're talking about, the fact that they are covenant parents. The blessing of God is not just a blessing from God, it is a spiritual substance that God gave and puts in the mouth of covenant parents so that when they issue it forth unto their children, that blessing will sustain those children with grain and will sustain those children with new wine. Now, that's the point we got to, and we're picking up from there. Last time I began to explain the fact that how you live life today affects the next generation. And that's what I want to summarize today, all right? How you live life today affects the next generation. Very important to understand it. There's something I emphasized last time, that you must be careful you don't follow after other gods. So we find a lot of Christians are going from church to church looking for prayers, and therefore they expose themselves to traditional, you know, native doctors, witch doctors. That's a better word to use, actually. Witch doctors that have cast away the apron, they've cast away the beaded apron, and they have worn an Amani suit. But the spirit is still the same. And what exposes you to it, I emphasized last time, let me just say it again, is when you are not running and gunning for the knowledge and understanding of God, but you are looking for emergency breakthrough and for prayers. That's when you are exposed. But I'm talking about the children. And listen to me, that spirit of witchcraft does not only affect you, it affects your children. That's what I'm emphasizing about. So you have to be careful where you go. Very important. You can't say because you're looking for breakthrough, you're looking for prayer. It's everybody that's praying for you. You don't know their spirit just because they claim to be getting results. Be careful. Those spirits that you imbibe, I'm not going to teach on that today, all right? I talked about it. In fact, that's what took all my time last time, okay? I just wanted to connect it from this point, all right? All those spirits affect the children. It's why the children don't behave normally. That is why. And what the scripture we use, we find that God told the children of Israel, you see your daughters, they have become harlots, and the boys themselves, they are now whoremongers. Why? The fathers themselves go after other gods. They sacrifice under all kinds of trees. The spirit of harlotry, therefore, enters into the household through the behavior of the children. I said something to you before. Parents are doorkeepers. You hear what I said? Parents are what? Doorkeepers. As a father, as a mother, you are a doorkeeper. You decide what enters into your house. And this is not by desire. It's by behavior. Do you understand what I'm going to say? You can't desire, oh, my children will be good. That's a lot of men. And that's what I'm talking about now. A lot of men live very uselessly. And they go and hide their children somewhere else because they don't want their children to be exposed to the same useless life they have been living. They don't realize that this thing is a spirit. It is not geographical location. It's not exposure. It's a spirit. Some of the most wicked spirits have never been exposed. The day you expose them, you go see. And one day they will be exposed. You understand what I'm going to explain? You see, the man is an original harlot chaser. He has 7 girlfriends all over the place. Then he goes to keep his children somewhere because he has girls. He doesn't want them. You see? You can't. Unless the mother, listen to me, unless the mother is a serious prayer warrior, those girls are going down. They are going down. There's nothing he can do about it. If you know something is good, better align yourself with it. You don't want your girls to be exposed to it. You still don't participate. That's my emphasis. The parents, you are a doorkeeper. Every parent is a doorkeeper. And listen, that's what I want to emphasize today, so that we will understand that blessing our children is not just about pronouncing blessings upon them. Just by having a normal walk of godliness, you are imparting something into the lives of those children. You can't hide children in America or Canada or wherever, all right? There's no way you can hide them. In fact, the farther they are from you, the less likely they are it is that they'll get a good spiritual substance. And I'll prove it to you in a moment. What I've said to you is not a joke. If you are truly a good Christian and you're a godly father, a godly mother, they should be close to you. They should be. I can't be calling my son to explain to him what the Bible talks about on phone. No. Listen, please, you must understand something. I'm not saying some things are evil. I just want to tell you the way I carry something. That is why, as far as I am concerned, people can disagree with this. I'm not being dogmatic about it, but this is my own application of it. That is why I'm not sending my children to boarding house. I went to a boarding house. Listen, I'm not saying it's evil. I went to a boarding house. In fact, in my generation, the boarding house was an advantage. It was. I can't remember my father gathering us in the morning and pouring the blessing of heaven upon us the way I do for my children. The only thing I knew at home was catechism. The place where I got woken up at 5 a.m. to clap and sing was in boarding house. They would wake me up at 5 a.m. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's always just the same. Oh, praise his holy name. That's how we used to say it. That is the reason why I love you so. Jesus is the sweetest name. It's true. It is true. That was why you had to go to fellowship by force. Many of us went. Some people didn't benefit them. They benefited me. But the tables have turned. The spiritual atmosphere in my house is hotter than anybody else. Yes. It is. My children have more studies of the scriptures at home. And I watch them closely. in my house will say something that's not accurate. When you're very young, I apply the word. As you're growing older, I apply the rod. I combine the two to purge lying from your mouth. One day, my small boy, Victory, he told a lie. Somebody came to report him. Victory said this to me. I said, how could Victory have said that? Call him for me. I didn't say that. You didn't say that. How come everybody is saying you said that? So, of course, from the mouth of two or three witnesses. I called the first witness. Did he say it? Yes. I called the second one. Did he say it? He said yes. Did you say it? He said, I can't remember what I said. I said, very good. Give me the default, default resetting device. You know what somebody said? Connected the device. Oh yeah. Now, Victory, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you tell the truth quickly, God has helped me with that. I won't deceive you. If you tell the truth now, you are getting 6. If you don't, this is the length to increase to 12. If I have to, when the Baba go gejan, finally confess. Oh yeah. Do you understand my point? Yes, I'm applying. It's divine therapy. It's divine therapy. I apply it, then I teach you, then you confess, you say sorry, I hug you, I bless you, I prophesy over you. Why? I'm setting you up. I'm playing a role which I don't believe somebody else can do for me. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now, like I said, I'm not being dogmatic about it, but that's my own application of it. I have to impact that spirit into you. It's my duty. Why? Let's really read that Genesis chapter 18. It's the fact that how the parents live is creating a spiritual substance, all right, for the children. Now let's just read our Genesis chapter 18 that we have been reading. And the reason why I said that one is because, of course, when you are old enough, then I cannot let you out of the house. I believe that I can do a far better job than a man does, and that's what they call a hireling. You know what they call a hireling? I'm a true shepherd for my children. I'm a true shepherd. So as much as possible, you must understand this. You know, people may give it, if people want to argue with you sometimes, start explaining to you, you know this, listen. What I'm saying is as much as is possible, I use the best, you understand, facilities available to me to set a good stage for my children. In my situation, it's not the same as the one of my own parents. They are not preachers. They were not preachers when I was young. They did not understand this amount of revelation that I understand now why my children are young. So for me, it's a lot of lost opportunity not to see them regularly. It's a lot of lost opportunity. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now, why do we say this? Let's read our Genesis chapter 18 again. Remember, our teaching is how to bless your children. Let's just start quickly from that verse 16. He said then that this was when God and two angels came to the house of Abraham. Then the men rose up from there, Genesis chapter 18, verse 16, and looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely, please notice this verse 18, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Please notice it. Abraham is going to be a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Verse 19 says, I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. We have been reading this again and again. We have read it several times before. He said, I chose him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. That is, if his children and his household after him do not understand how to do righteousness and justice, thereby walking in the way of the Lord, those promises that God gave Abraham, they won't come to pass. Are you getting my point? That is, for God, it's very crucial that Abraham does this. Now, and this is application for us, all right? Before I go into the other thing, as I talk, let me really drop this one again. It is crucial to God that Abraham steadily, systematically trained his children. Please, one of the most important things, we talked about the children must be born in Zion. That while you are interceding for the lost people in Somalia, don't forget, your children are not born again by inheritance. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't ever forget that. The fact that they are children of pastors, children of good Christians, don't make them Christians. Christianity is one thing that's not transferred down just because you are a good Christian. Each child must consciously, deliberately, having had an explanation of it, agree to follow the way of the Lord. For that reason, the same way you pray for those who don't have understanding to understand, don't just assume they will understand. Also make their matter a matter of prayer, supplication before God. Each one of these children must serve the Lord. That's the greatest thing. Then after that, that's what we're talking about. Okay? They also have to be taught. That is what you give to them to make the next generation secure. It is not money. That's what thing I don't understand about those who claim to be Christians sometimes. You are willing to pay huge amounts of money to send children off somewhere to go to school. If you go and ask most of those parents, they have not asked which fellowship would they attend there. I will say this to you clearly, so that in case you just make sure you think about it. I went to University of Benin. It was a blessing to me. I attended a fellowship called Light of Christ Community. We have a very vibrant alumni, all right, alumni fellowship, called them Light of Christ Community Alumni Fellowship. Currently, I'm the president, all right, of the alumni fellowship. This last May was our 25th anniversary, all right? 25 years. I mean, I've never missed it. I give God the glory. I'm so happy to say it. Never miss any of the conventions, okay? Now, I'm going somewhere now. If my son is going to school, and I'm not kidding about this, God knows I am not lying. I'm not saying this just because I want to sound nice because I'm preaching. If I have the money to send the boy to Harvard, and the other opportunity as of today is University of Benin, I'm not lying to you, he goes to University of Benin. Don't worry, you're not the first person to think I'm strange. My mother said it long ago. My mother-in-law said it. Even my wife said it before she married me. Is Harvard bad? No, Harvard is not bad. Except that you cannot vouch for me which fellowship you will go to. Where will his iron be sharpened? You don't know what a Harvard degree is. You don't know what the blessing I've poured upon him is. Harvard graduates will work for him. That's not supposed to be a joke. I still woke up 2 nights ago. It happened once in a while. This is when I woke up at night, my eye just opened like this. Before I go back to sleep, I dropped like 5 minutes of prayer. My son Akinlu was still one of those I prayed for. And I prophesied seriously upon him while lying in my bed before I fell back asleep. That this boy will be great amongst men. Listen to me, I'm saying before you, Harvard graduates will work for him. I don't give a hoot the qualification he has. It is more important to me that the boy learns the way of the Lord. Sending him off to Harvard does not impress me. If you know me enough, if you know some things don't impress me. If you show up and say you came from Harvard, you know what I mean? You just came from somewhere. You can come from Harvard and you're entirely stupid. It's possible. Obama is from Harvard. A foolish man says in his heart, there is no God. Listen, Ed Cole says, practical atheism is not shaking your fist and saying there's no God. He says, living like there's none. Many people say by mouth there's God. Practically, they say there's no God. You can't take the word of God and with all your political clout, subvert it. And you still think you think there's God. As you and I know, the richest men in the world today, we don't even know which schools they went to. The only one we know the school he went to, we are very sure of that one, is Bill Gates. Why do we know? He dropped out. That's the only reason why we know the school. Because we know he did not finish. So it's talk of town. I'm not saying all of them didn't go to school. This man has postgraduate degrees. And what is his name? Warren Buffett. But I'm not trying to explain, these things don't mean anything. I'm not emphasizing something. For me, before I carry my child somewhere, I must ask, who will he fellowship with? Is he going to go to a school where they will be telling him to experiment with cocaine? He goes to visit his friends, weekend party. It's Indian hemp, they are passing up and down. I'm not saying this to appear righteous. So, I mean, God can redeem anybody. You know, I've never seen Indian hemp. I'm not kidding. I've never seen it. I can't recognize it. And I went to university. Sounds funny. And I'm a doctor. It sounds very funny. Do you know I've never seen it? I've never. The only time I see it on television when the NAFDAC has gone to arrest Indian hemp smokers. Because this is Nigerian, people normally. Okay, I've driven past and they've told me they are smoking hemp there. So after a while, I got used to the smell if you are passing. But I can't recognize the leaf. I'm not kidding. Whether dry or wet. Unless you put it on television and they put some soldiers around it, they'll know that that must be their hemp. Do you know what the simple reason? Not a big deal. I'm not talking about, hey, you're such a good boy. No. When I went to school, my friends don't do such things. No, that's all. That's all I'm trying to get to. That's all I'm trying to emphasize. It's not saying how good a man, worse people who were on everything, God has saved them and made them men of God. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to emphasize the fact that where I was, when I was in university, oh God, my roommates, I've told you before, their own quarrel on who can pray more. We had names for all the prayer warriors around my room. One brother used to call him Power Uto. Because there was Power Uti, who was a wrestler. Remember Power Uti? So we call this brother Power Uto. Because when he's praying, the building is shaking. We used to, you know, there are all kinds of jokes we were cracking then. By the kind of tongue somebody is speaking, you know who's praying. So, no, that is Martin's tongues. That is a real reason. I'm serious. Let me tell you the truth. Once I was at home, I was ill. I was really ill. I was ill for some time. In fact, I was really ill. I was admitted in hospital. So I was discharged after some days. But I still remember that day. Once I just got to the hospital, the doctor and I said, okay, no, they should go and put me in a room upstairs. All right? As I was getting into the room, I started trembling so bad. I was shivering, you know, so terribly. I still remember my mother's mouth was open. She could not close it. It's not this boy I just came with here just now. Then I covered him. I remember she removed her wrapper and stood in her shimmy. You know what they call shimmy? And just, I still, the picture is in my head. After some days, I was discharged. I went home. But I was not fully well. So, you know, I was ill, up and down, you know. I had pain in my side. Doctor said I had, you know, all kinds of stories. I remember my mother said, this is very funny, coming from a mother. She said, maybe you should go back to school. And I'm not kidding. My mother said, I think maybe you should go back to school. I was in university then. And she knew what she was saying. That when you get back amongst those your friends, that was what my mother said. Like, go back to school. When you get there, I know you will be fine. And I knew what she was saying. She wasn't saying, maybe when you get into activity. No. She knew the kind of people I interacted with. What we're experimenting with was whether we could get well without taking medicine. For me, that is better than going to Harvard. You say, as who goes on strike, I always, after you strike, you go rejoin. There's no strike that has lasted forever. Somebody will get tired. Either the university lecturers or the federal government. Person go tired. As of today, I'm not, look, you see, that, I'm telling you the truth. Why? These are things that matter to me. And I believe that these are the things that will build up that child, these children to be strong. And donating you to a school where you cannot tell the truth. You can't tell your school, your neighbor that homosexuality is not the will of God, otherwise you're going to be suspended. Bros, not now. Not now, not now. You know, I quoted a scripture for you the other day. The Bible says that the poor and the rich have one thing in common. That God is the maker of them all. And we understood the application of it, that God was saying that every resource, all right, that the rich man has, the poor man has it, if he knows how to identify it. The rich man uses money to send his child to a big school. God says, don't worry. The poor man, you don't have the cash, but you have the mouth, you have the time. Put that boy, put that girl down, and pour a spirit into that child. At the end of the day, whether they are poor or rich, you know, there's one joke I used to crack those days. No one went to university, some people will come and say, which school did you go to? Those ones that went to King's College in Lagos, they were the cockiest. Their shoulder was always like this. Where did you go to? Let mistake now make you. You know what I'm saying? Mistake now make you. Now your school has community inside. They will laugh at you. Your school go get community inside. Community high school. You know? You will be the laughter in the hostel. Look at that boy from community high school, Okigwe. You'll be asking, where's Okigwe actually? You know, use all kinds of things come from, where did this go to? Queen's School, King's College. You know, that's Queen's College in Lagos, right?
Yes.
King's, I still remember the King's College boy. I said, they do King's College, King's College, King's College. A King's College, King's College, we got to third MB. He King's College, failed three, bozo, they kick her out. But my own school was an Anglican grammar school. I used my Anglican grammar school, clear seven A's in WAEC. Use my Anglican grammar school, do jump, enter school with anybody, connecting me with anybody. Use my Anglican grammar school. Entered, studied, and declared anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. One attempt, goza. They withdrew King's College Bobo out of school. As we were, I was a resident doctor. Went to invigilate for a colleague who was a lecturer in community medicine who had to go for a course. So she begged her, please, they won't allow me to go and say I get people to invigilate for me, for us. So me and my friends, you know, we all arranged ourselves to be doing her shift so that her HOD will let her go. One of those days, as a resident doctor, I invigilated an exam which the girlfriend of King's College boy, who was a Queen's College girl, was now taking. Finally, when her head rearranged, she went back home, got herself back into UNILAG. I was a doctor when she was not graduating. I had graduated for like 4 years. So I used to tell them this day. I said, look, when I was preaching in Lut, I was preaching there. I said, all the talk we used to talk, secondary school, Queen's College, this college, where are all of us now? We're all in Lut working. We're all in Lut working. Either you go Harvard, or Harvard go you, or you not go anywhere. One day in life, all of you sit around the table. Nobody will give a hoot. It is who can command, who has a stronger voice in the marketplace. That's what we'll be talking about that time. And if it's today's Nigeria, and Aliko Dangote walks in, all of you will jump up, even if you are reverend something. You will have finished jumping up before your legs are larger that came in. Please, why am I talking like this? We must know what the kind of things that matter when we are laying up something for our children. Your children will come back home with heavy degrees physically. Their spiritual heads are empty. You know, Christian, we don't think about this thing. We don't think about it. We look for money to give our children natural heavy degrees. The boy knows nothing about spiritual things. He goes to school, they will erode all the faith he has. He questions the God of his father. And you think you have done him a favor. He's going to school abroad bad. No, I didn't say that. You notice what I'm trying to say? I said, put your priorities right. I'm not sending. No, I'm. This is. Look, ask my wife. Look, that's the. Look. This is your neck. It's my first choice. Second choice, Covenant University. As of today, that's my. You know, your neck being. No, second choice, University of Benin, you know, Covenant. These are my three things I think about. And my reason is not because I want you to be close to me so I can be looking. That's not the only reason. That's part of it. I say like that's part of it. But more importantly, of course, covenant is not near me. Universal being is not so close. But the point is this. I should know that you are going to fellowship. That's all I'm trying to do. Because the same way, you see, I'm not emphasizing the fact that the same way I want to give you quality education, for me, first of all, is quality spiritual education. It is important to me that you know the word of God. You must learn how to lay hands on the sick as a young boy. You must know how to prophesy and not be talking nonsense like the world. Listen, all these ones, oh my God in heaven. I will say this in surprise of people. There is nothing they teach in Harvard or Princeton that's not on the internet. Some people don't realize it. There's nothing. There is nothing. For that reason, for me, first of all, oh boy, I'm more interested, oh girl, I'm more interested in you being amongst people who sharpen your faith. Because I understand your faith is more important than natural learning. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We read here that Abraham, God said to him, if this blessing is going to be upon your children, they also must learn the things you have learned. They also must learn the things you have learned. I said I'm going to talk about how your own lifestyle affects your children, but my spirit is still on this one. Let me continue explaining it. They must also learn the things you have learned. There's a great mistake parents who God blessed, all right, make every day. I told one of our brothers said that, look, let this prosperity not become a curse to us. And what was he trying to say? We have so much money, we scatter our children as if they are persecuted. You know, when the church in Jerusalem was persecuted, they were scattered abroad. Scattered everywhere. Look, this is what I'm trying to say. Don't use your money to buy hassle. Because you are pursuing the things that are not real. What is the big deal about foreign qualification? The parents don't have it. I'm going somewhere. Yet God bless them. They don't have this thing. Now this is a problem. When I'm talking about money, like that brother said, may this our money not become a curse to us. Listen, one of the reasons why wealth, blessings don't pass from one generation to another is that the people don't understand how it came. They don't realize that, listen, every experience, look, what God does is this. For you to be able to carry anything, God has to form something to your spirit. Especially if you're a human being. Especially, of course, if you're a believer. He has to form something into your spirit. Now, God forms things into your spirit different ways. The most important way, of course, is that he talks to you. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they impart life. That's what Jesus said. The flesh profits nothing. That is number one. You hear Ezekiel said, he's saying that the spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. As God is speaking to you, a spirit is going into you. That's how it is. A spirit is going into you as God is speaking to you. That is number one way. But a lot of times when God is speaking, because of unbelief, it's hard for us to get the point. Therefore, he allows us to go through experiences. Those experiences teach us the ways of God. Actually, those experiences open our hearts for the Spirit of God to enter into us by his word. That's what experiences do. Now, these things are the things that God uses to build strength into you so he can bless you materially, so he can bless you outwardly, so he can increase you on every side. And listen, if your children don't imbibe that spirit, they can't handle that wealth. If they don't get that blessing, that spirit, that blessing can't be carried by them. If you transfer it to them, it will ruin them. And in case you do not know, that's what happened to all the children of David. Apart from the last one, Solomon. And you see something there. What happened to Absalom? You know the story of Absalom. Fine boy. When they want to cut his hair once a year, CNN will come. All the gossip magazines are there. Paparazzi are photographing him. As he comes, the boy was used to attention. Let's make it long, so let's not waste time. He did not have the spirit of David. Why did he not have the spirit of David? The summary of the reason is called David. The son of David did not have the spirit of David because David did not impart the spirit of David to the son of David. His younger brother was Adonijah. And concerning that also, we heard that not once did his father ever say to him, why did you do this? His father had never corrected him. Why did Adonijah not have the spirit of David? The summary of the reason is called David. That one, he entered into trouble. His brother had to kill him eventually. For treason. For plotting against the throne. I hope you are getting my point. David understood all of these things. The last born, the little boy Solomon, was a place where he did not make that mistake again. I dare to say it was a bit too late anyway. And that's why you read the first few proverbs of the chapters of the Proverbs of Solomon. They were the Proverbs of David, not the Proverbs of Solomon. We know simply because Solomon will say, when I was a young boy, my father used to say, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Those were the Proverbs of David. And I read Bollinger explain it, that it was like David organized a school to train the boy, that as he passed the spirit of David, he had to pass the spirit of David into Solomon. And talking about praying, so when you are praying for your children, you know, these are the things you are talking about. Because whether you like it or not, these are the things we do. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We do them by prayer. So Ephesians chapter 1 prayer, Colossians chapter 1 prayer, we pray them for our children too, that God will open their eyes. He will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened, so they might imbibe the spirit of blessing that is inside us. Very important. David took time out to pour that spirit into Solomon, and that was the reason why Solomon could carry that throne. Don't be blessed and then send your children away to go and enjoy the blessing. You are ruining them. The commonest lie you hear from the mouth of successful people is, I don't want my children to pass through what I passed through. Listen, there's only one reason they will not pass through that. If you make sure that at home they pass through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, at home they will sit down and understand. Every lesson you learned while passing through, you must pass it to them. And if they don't get that lesson, they have to go and pass through it. That is it. Otherwise, that blessing they will never carry it. It will ruin them. Every lesson, I explain the principle that in all your experiences, what God is doing is to drive a spirit into you. That experience, I like one thing Oswald Chambers said once. He asked a question and he answered it, of course. He said, were the sufferings of Jacob necessary for him to inherit the blessing? He said, no. He said, but for Jacob to inherit the blessing, he had to suffer. Now, when the first says, what are you talking about? What he was saying is this. The blessing was not tied to suffering. But because Jacob wouldn't learn the lesson without suffering, he had to suffer. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
That's what he was trying to say. That the sufferings of Jacob, those sufferings were not necessary for the coming of the blessing. He said, but for Jacob, the character of that supplanter, to receive that blessing, he had to be broken by those sufferings. Therefore, you didn't see Isaac go through those same things. And it was the same blessing that was flowing. You are getting what I'm going to explain? That whichever way, those children must get that spirit. You don't want them to suffer the way you did, there's no trouble. They must learn the lesson you learned. If they don't learn it by suffering, they will learn it by instruction and miniature suffering. You know what they call miniature suffering? At home, they will suffer very early. They get up very early. They deviate. They get corrected. You know what I'm saying? So they will not get, but then that lesson, they must get it. But many times parents don't understand it. You send the child to go and enjoy the things you suffered for without him getting the spirit. And you're wondering why the wealth will not pass down the generations. It can't. Because the wealth is not the important thing. It is the spirit. And that was why Jacob could generate the wealth even though his father gave him nothing. Yes. By the time he left home, his father didn't give him anything. He ran. But that blessing went with him. That blessing went with him. And as his character was being refined through his sufferings, God sharpened the man. The man returned with a great blessing. That is a mistake. That is a lie that a lot of successful people tell themselves and thereby put their children at a great disadvantage, thinking that they are helping those people. You cannot take the spirit away from your children and you think they will be as successful as you were or become more successful than you. Don't lie to yourself. It is crucial that you pour that spirit into them. You pour that spirit into them by prayer. You pour into them by instruction. Very, very important. You teach them at home regularly. What you give to your children more than anything after, number one, you ensure they are born in Zion. Number two, you must pour the spirit of the blessing into them. That's what I'm talking about. And listen, this is beyond. Remember, this is different from sustaining with grain and with new wine. We've talked about that. But you see, no matter how much you bless somebody, there is always something they do outwardly that pulls that blessing from whatever is hiding to come and manifest. That's why Abraham had the blessing. But God said to him clearly, except your children learn the way of the Lord in doing righteousness and justice, they won't experience it. Therefore, that way I have sustained you with new wine, with grain and with new wine. All right? That's there. It's yours. What's the next thing? The next thing now is, oh boy, this is how Christians behave. When God blesses them, this is how they behave. This is how they give God the glory. When they are cheated, this is how they respond. When people speak evil against them, this is how they respond. No, an eye for an eye. No, not here. This is how, you start teaching them. You start telling them stories. Stories. You know, sometimes my mother and I will be talking, My mother is much older than me. I mean, you should be able to guess that. Yes, sometimes when we are talking, she'll say, you are right. So true. Why? Testimonies. Just testimonies. So many of the things she feared for, that is concerning me. One of the blessings God has given me, all right, is that both my parents, my mother now, and my parents-in-law, they were the, elders, they are watching what they are doing. Sometimes they think, of course, I told that being strange was a reputation I acquired very early in life, that this boy is not normal, he doesn't behave like every other person. And as soon as I married my wife, I spoiled her too. So her parents also looked at us and said, these children are queer. The things people would jump at, say, good. My wife would disdain. I told the story, in fact, at the beginning of this, I told you about it. She was pregnant. Were you going to have your child in UK? I said, when will I come back? The following week, they said no. Stay for a few months? Nah. No, just disdain, like it's not a big deal. Sorry. Ain't going to have any baby anywhere. My husband won't see this. For her, the husband will see this baby while it's still hot. My mother-in-law looked at her and said, you people are strange. It's a good testimonial. May you be strange in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm telling you. Now, but this is what I'm talking about it. Years have passed now. I've heard them testify. My own parents, my parents-in-law, and you know that they say, men, essentially, you children are wise. That is, I'm summarizing it. Thank God for this thing that you did. Thank God that you think like this. They are seeing the result. Yes. Now, there's a reason I'm talking about that. As at now, this was just, my mother is in my home right now. This was a few nights ago. We're just telling stories. We were having a good laugh about then when things were like this, then I did like this. And I told her once. When I was posted to NYC, posted to Taraba State by NYC, that was the first time any human being on this earth was being posted to Taraba State, because I was the first set of coppers. I was with the first set of coppers that went to Taraba. Taraba State was created before I was mobilized for NYC. My mother had never heard of Taraba, actually. Not a joke. If you heard it, it blew past. They created the state just a few months before that. I was mobilized for NYC in 1992, all right? Quite some time ago. Taraba State was hot and fresh. So I went home that day. My mother said, "Where were you posted?" I said, "Taraba State." She was weak instantly. Her knee sagged. First question is, "Where is that?" That was her first question. I said, "It's from Old Gongola State." For those of you who are too young, Taraba and Adamawa were one state called Gongola. They split into two. You now have Adamawa, Yola, and Taraba, Jalingo. All right? So that is it. What are we going to do now? She sat down. She was weak. Her voice almost trembling. What are we going to do? I said, "What are we going to do?" Well, I am going to go inside. I'm going to get me a bag. I'm going to pack my things. And I'm going off to NYC camp. And I'm going, and God is going to make me very rich. And what about, I said, "Mommy, please, the G's don't be too long. Let me go and pack. I have to get down to camp." I told the day I returned, in fact, she and some of my siblings were going out, and as I just came out of the gate of the house, I was walking down the street. When she saw me, she fell into the grass there. You understand? She was so great. She had not seen me in 1 month. Went for camp, went to my primary assignment, came back. She had not seen. No, these were not the days of hello, free midnight calls. There was nothing like that. You left your child off, you know, God, watch him. His angel is standing before your throne. Tell the angel to report regularly. Now, why I like to tell you once in a while is that years later, when they were talking, she said, "You have a way of putting people's minds at rest." She said, "I still remember the day you were going for NYSC. I was so troubled and concerned. You just dismissed it, told me you were packing your bag and going." She said, "You have a way of putting people's minds at rest." Are you getting my point? Just by the way, stick with truth. Are you getting my point? God will vindicate you later. What I'm saying all of this is that, in my little life now, I have a lot of stories to tell about the faithfulness of God. We're talking about children, not mothers. This is my challenge. Tell those same stories to children. That's what I'm trying to explain. Tell those same stories to children. I think we often make a mistake in life. We don't talk enough to our children. We hand them instructions. We talk to them. We instruct them. But to tell godly stories to the next generation, we don't do it. But we read the Psalms. That was one of the things David ensured that he did. I suppose when he saw the other boys, he didn't learn it. He had to tell it to the other ones. And he now commanded all of us that the next generation might hear it. You will have to. No, I like my alumni fellowship now, because some of our brethren used to emphasize that, look, come with your children. I think I didn't grasp it myself as much, though my children will come, you understand? But I think now I'm getting to understand. Drag them down. Then come and see the kind of people you interact with. You get my point? Yes, drag them down. That's what some of our brethren have been emphasizing. Where are your children? Bring them. Initially, I felt like, look, it's a lot of trouble. What are they going to gain? It's now I'm understanding. Even though my children will come, as we're getting older, all of us were coming. But now I'm even understanding it more. It's not just about, it's not a social gathering, it's a spiritual gathering. These children must imbibe this spirit. Oh, Christians forget. Maybe they don't believe enough. They spend money. "Where's your son going to school?" And we're trying to arrange whether we can settle him in Princeton, MIT. Now, this is what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching against those things. Please, you understand my point? In themselves. I'm preaching against the wrong priorities. If I ask, when he's in Princeton, which fellowship will he attend? has never crossed the parents' mind. Never. 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 It has never. Parents, they've never thought about it. All they just know is that he's going to Princeton. When they ask the pastor in church, man of God, where are your children? They are in Princeton. Praise God. Prosperity, you know. The Bible says he will sustain us with new wine. And we think it's prosperity. And God said, you think you are rich. You don't understand that you are poor, wretched, blind, and naked. I gave you money. What have you done with it? You have used it to export your children away from where I can pour the spirit of blessing into them. And you are not even aware. Listen, if I have to make my choice, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding about it. He says, as we go on strike, if you are eunuch, when they finish strike, they will come back. Please, I'm not saying good education is bad. I'm saying it's inferior to sound spiritual training. That's what I'm saying. If you say, no, daddy, I'm by force, and I feel like you are right, you must go to that prince. No problem. You will go, but you will wait. Next 2 years, no school. Shebi, now you don't want to go where else? No, wahala. Next 2 years, no school. Me and you go, they drive around, they preach together. And in 2 years, well, I'm sure you can go there and start a fellowship, then you can go. Or finally, when I locate a good place where the world, not just somebody who will check on your welfare. No. You understand what I'm going to explain? I talk like this because I have to preach and correct. The Bible says the word of God is profitable for correction. We need to be corrected. Many of us, we have so prospered, our prosperity is not the problem. We have taken the name of the Lord and given to a vain thing. Then we'll discuss that. Take the name of the Lord, give it because of prosperity. Because we have become so rich. We've set our priorities wrongly. What is the thing you give to bless your children? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. They have to be regularly trained, deliberately. Tell them stories. Let them know there was a time you were sick and you are taking all medicines, nothing worked. Then finally you remembered, your wife and you remember that you had not prayed. And you prayed. And do you know, in 3 days you were up and about going about your business. Isn't the Lord good? Let them hear the testimony. Don't come to church to speak Christianese alone. Praise the Lord. Not only that one. With your children, you can't do praise the Lord. You understand my point? It is pouring that spirit. It must be deliberate. It must be deliberate. With that, you are pouring, you are putting down a substance for the next generation. That's what I'm trying to make. This other one I wanted to say, I'm just watching my time now, so let me quickly drop that one in and I will close. But I just feel like I don't need to emphasize it too much. I think it's already clear. I'll say the thing that's most important for today, and then we can close the series here. And that's the fact that don't ever forget, without praying for your children, without teaching them anything, without doing anything, just your life now is affecting them. I just need to say that again. In fact, let's just read this one, and then I think I can end, summarize that one with it. I think I've said what the main things are that the Spirit wants us to learn. Let's read first from 1 Kings chapter 11. The story here, of course, we know it very well. It's when God wanted to remove the kingdom from Solomon. After Solomon had deviated from the way of the Lord, I'll read from verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 11. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you, and I will give it to your servant. My story is from verse 12. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Of course, you can see where I'm going there. Verse 12 says, the timing of my judgment is mitigated by the mercy I have for your father David. The extent of my judgment is mitigated by the relationship I have with your father David. One of my friends told me a story once. I can't give details because I don't have all the facts, but the spirit is very, very clear. He mentioned some names in Nigeria. Names that if I mention now, do you understand? You will remember. You will recognize. All right? Big men, former rulers, captains of industries, gigantic men in the affairs of men. Are you getting my point? And he said something. I read it somewhere. He said, he mentioned a few of them, that it was notable that their fathers were catechists. I don't know what I said. Now, you know what they call a catechist? He's not a very influential man. If he's a Catholic, he's serving the Reverend Father. If he's an Anglican catechist, he's serving the Anglican Reverend. He's not a very important person. He's very, very poorly paid, generally. All right? That's at least do that. I don't know about now. You know, church don't change. Now, he brought an issue here, okay? This was years ago, my friend. He was explaining something to me. But that thing stuck with me. That thing he said. And of course, trust me, the way I hear things, all right, sometimes beyond what the person even said. Something struck me. That what did God do? God took these men who were not rich in their days. Materially, they were not successful. Amongst men, they were not big people. I still remember the catechists in our church, all right, the Catholic church my mom attends when we were children. I still remember him. He was not an example of a successful man at all. But he said, what God did, my friend was explaining, was that he took these men's children, you understand, and blessed them. And what he and I were now discussing was that that was for the sake of their fathers. Now, being a catechist, all right, now may not appear like a big deal. But think about when the father of a man who today is 70, 80 years old was a catechist. Are you getting my point? That was when everybody in the village was worshipping idols. You get what I'm saying? It may not have been a big revelation to be a catechist, but the man departed from the worship of idols, stood against the whole village, and began to serve the church. God said, don't worry. I may not be able to do much for you for many reasons, but your children will never be poor. For the sake of my servant David. That day here and I spoke, we analyzed it. You see the man in his days, struggling man, had a bicycle if he could, or didn't have. He was not influential amongst the Igwes and the Obas because he departed from the way of our ancestors. Those blind ancestors that could not invent anything. In case you did not know, the whole of Africa did not build any house beyond that ground floor until white man came. Oh, you never heard it before? All the huts were level zero architect. All the floors, all the huts were one ground floor. It didn't cross their mind. They were seeing the monkeys climbing the trees. It did not cross their mind. Listen, wisdom is a gift of God. If all these ancestors, when I heard the culture of our fathers, one thing that irritates me the most, culture of your fathers. Go to the American and ask for the culture of his father. They were inventing cars, you know, trains, you know. But, you know, I have this set of films, The Man Who Built America. When you are hearing dates, he say, hey, our fathers, what were they doing that time? Okonkwo was still sacrificing one child because the gods were still demanding the head of a kidnapped little girl. You know, you go and see those men. They were inventing trains. You understand? You see rails crisscrossing the whole of America. J.T. Edison and Nikola Tesla were there in New York, you know, inventing things. And we were doing the culture of our fathers. Said, this scholar does not speak English. Better go and learn. school and not go to school. The Lord is good. When Africans got there, I'll just be looking at them and say, oh, foolish Galatians, this is the reason why you're backward. The Lord is good. Anyway, so why in the whole of Africa was it worshipping gods that didn't have ears, that had ears and could not hear? They had legs, they could not walk. They had eyes, they could not see. A few men agreed to depart from that because God showed them a little light. And they followed the religion of the white men. They followed the religion of the missionaries. And they believed in Jesus Christ. And their life didn't seem to have changed so much. But listen, we can explain it naturally. And because of that, their children went to school early. Are you getting my point? But the Bible says by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see were not made out of the things that are visible. That is not the reason. The fact, you can have an explanation for it. The real reason is what I'm talking about. And God poured a blessing upon them. Why? For the sake of my servant David. That's what he was doing. I'm watching my time. What I'm trying to emphasize, I'm emphasizing the fact that how you live your life today, the choices we are making, is setting your children up for something later on in life. Some people, your whole village will gather. You can't marry from there. And you simply, because of the knowledge and understanding of obedience to the word of God, you say, I cannot agree with you people. That may be the reason why your son, your daughter will be president one day. Because there is nothing that anyone does for the sake of God, for the sake of his gospel, that he will ever lose from. You must understand, that gain is not always in your lifetime. All the things that Abraham sacrificed in quote for did not happen in his lifetime. Look at the stars, so will your descendants be. How many were there when he died? And look at this. You will be blessed. Who did Abraham bless while he was alive? Who did Isaac bless? They were still quarreling over whose well is this? Whose well is this one? Call this one Esek. We contended for this well. Call this one this. This one Rehoboth. God has given us peace. Is that how to be a blessing to anybody? You are fighting over where. You know, the world has prospered. People don't know. If it is now, somebody go vex, dig 10 boreholes. All the quarrel over where we stop. What am I going to say? The man was not so blessed as to bless anybody. But the things he sacrificed for, ha 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 ha. Not till today, you and I are enjoying it. Jesus indeed was the blessing that God promised. What am I going to say? The obedience to the word of God you are engaging in today is setting your descendants up for something. It is not possible to obey God and you lose. Because people are often short-sighted, they are thinking about the immediate gain. After I finish, you know, our testimonies are not good. They are too childish. After I showed that shield, by next morning, the doors opened. I began to receive in dollars. I began to receive. You will sow right now so that I can receive tomorrow only. Everybody will start running down to sow. When they come back tomorrow, nothing don't appear. They vex. The pastor lied to us. Yes, he actually lied. I don't blame you. Everybody thinks, look, you see, I went to preach somewhere the other day. No, last Tuesday. No, I left here on time. And two testimonies that was shared where I was impressed. One woman said, this very funny testimony, very funny, all right, by Christian contemporary Christianity standards, but actually was very, very godly. She said they went home for this August meeting thing, and then because of her status, you know, a lot of things they got involved in, they had to give money, that she gave money until she was broke. Another major thing was coming up, and she had to give money. And she said, God, how can I do it? I said, I don't have money again. Now, this is a very funny testimony. When I finish testimony, you're going to wonder, where's the testimony now? He said, then, Holy Spirit now said to me, give them a positive check. So I now give them a positive check. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he went to sit down. I'm happy you laughed. I'm very happy you laughed. What was the testimony that the Holy Spirit told her? You can give the money, just give a post-dated check. So she post-dated the check and gave them. And that's how the problem was solved. Praise the Lord. And this elderly woman went and sat down. I said, this is a testimony. I said, this is a testimony. Christians are used to, Asher began to pour the sheet. Oh, hallelujah. The doors began to open. I gave 1 naira, I got 20 naira. I gave 20 naira, I got 100 naira. Who will give you 500 naira right now? No, the woman said, the Holy Spirit just ministered to her kid. And you know the interesting part? I said, this, I use it to preach. This is a testimony. Another man was that, he didn't have money. Then suddenly, he just made up his mind. Because it's full gospel. So they have this convention coming up, you know. So that they needed money, he just decided to just give this amount of money. And he just pledged the money. And when he left, do we understand that? Do you know, and he was trying to explain to them, that do you know that immediately he started getting calls. People said, he said the money, that is God just supplied that money and more quickly. But the emphasis was on, I obeyed God and he made it easy for me to fulfill what I obeyed him concerning. Those are real testimonies. The testimony is on how my faith allowed me or helped me, enabled me, was strong enough to obey God. Because the reward is not always in your generation. The reward for Abraham's obedience was not in his generation. The reward for Isaac's obedience was not in his generation. It came years and years, some of them thousands of years down the line. Listen, don't be small-minded. Don't make only sacrifices that you will get rewards for next year, in 2 years' time. No. Many of them, you made a sacrifice. As far as your lifetime is concerned, you have lost. But don't worry. With God, you can never lose. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I say, Isaac may die physically, but the spirit of Isaac is unkillable. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And that's my message to you. You want your children to be blessed? Observe these things. Don't worry about the money you have not saved up for them. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. Their children can be mighty before God. God is the maker of them all. And that's what I've tried to explain in all these few days we have talked about this. I pray that, look, get the messages. You say, I don't have children yet. I told you, by the time you imbibe these things, the children will rush to come into your house. Say, look at that house, blessing food there. Where are you going to? You are going to that country. I'm going to Nigeria. There's this guy in Nigeria that's been that will be hearing solid word. Let's go and populate his house and collect something. E.W. Kenyon, I think Smith Wigglesworth, in different ways, they said it. You waited too late. If it is when you needed faith, that you need faith, you now rush to go and get it. You waited too late. What I'm trying to say, it is not when you need these things in your own mind that you rush for them. It is now. I'm not married yet. Grab the material. Feed your spirit with it. It will form how you do things later on in life. And your children will indeed be blessed. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just bow our heads and just begin to give the Lord thanks. I like that scripture. The poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. So you see, you can obey God and not worry about, I need to go and lay up money for my children. No, just obey him. They are blessed already. That obedience to God is a blessing. The obedience to God is a blessing. That your obedience. The children are already blessed. So thank God for it. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have all the tools in my hands to have my children set up mightily on this earth. Declare the word of God that my seed will be mighty on this earth. That is very important. Declare that word. Say it out loud that my seed will be mighty on this earth. Very important. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Thanks once again for this word. For today, for this whole series. Like I said, we don't have too much time. We can't do all the praying I wanted us to do. We still have next Tuesday to pray. Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. All right, the Lord is good.